This is Smart Tech, episode 1717, Christmas gifts that will make any techie smile. Hello and welcome to one of my favorite episodes of the year. Every year, I give you my top 10 technology picks for the year. And some of them may surprise you and some of them may not. But I thought I'd try to get this out before Black Friday, so if there's any good sales on, you can order things online, either Black Friday or Cyber Monday. Although I'm finding, it depends on the store, but it seems like Black Friday has the best deals as opposed to Cyber Monday. Some of the places have the deal all weekend, but I've noticed a bit of a difference in perusing electronic sources for purchasing. And definitely, if you're going to purchase retail, you want to try to find a Black Friday deal if you can. So let's begin. There's a lot of great things this year, but I'm going to stick with a few that I know will not surprise you. I'm kind of boring about some things, but let's start off. You know, one of the most popular new categories for electronics are drones. In fact, drones are everywhere now. You can buy all kinds of different brands, all different types of drones. Drones that have really good cameras on them, drones that fly really well. And there's a lot of good brands out there. But I'm going to recommend two different drones. If you're a very, very beginner and you want to go with lower price but not cheap, try the DJI Spark. Now, the DJI Spark is around $500. It's a small drone. It has a 12-megapixel camera built in. It's got a gimbal built in, which are important things when you're flying. You want a gimbal so that the lens stays steady as the drone flies around. It has a transmission distance of over a mile. So for about $500, you can get a really well-built aerodynamic drone. Now, there are cheaper ones. Try them out if you want to. But if you want something that's tried and true, that works very well, that is robust, can't go wrong with DJI drones. They're one of the original drone manufacturers, and they make really good stuff. So that would be the Spark. And the downside of the Spark, it only flies about 16 minutes. So I would get a few extra batteries, and you can pop those in and have a good afternoon of flying your drone around. But if you want something substantial, a little more of an investment, you might try the Mavic Pro. The Mavic Pro sells for about $1,000, but it does have a 4K video camera built in. It does fold up into a compact size and travels really well. The battery life is more close to a half an hour. The thing can be controlled 7 kilometers away. So what is that, over 3 miles? It's really cool. It's a very cool drone, and it's the one I personally own. And I've had a lot of fun with it. So that would be the Mavic Pro. So I would either stick with the DJI Spark or the Mavic. Now, techies like phones. I mean, phones are kind of the new thing for techies. They've got a computer built in. They've got a camera built in. They have communication built in. All the things that we used to do as hobbies are kind of built into one device. If you're going with Android, one of the best new phones on the market is the Google Pixel 2. The Pixel 2 is a light phone. They've got two different sizes. It's got really good video. I've heard, I haven't tried it for the camera, but everything I've read about the camera on it, it's got a spectacular camera. And the Google ecosystem's great. I mean, if you want a smart device that picks up what you're going to do and kind of tries to anticipate, you can either even, you know, hold it up to like a building and it'll tell you, it'll look through the vast Google archives, it'll find a picture of that building, and it'll tell you all about it. So it's an amazing operating system. Android has evened itself out with iOS, I think, and it's really what you like. The Google Pixel phone is fairly reasonably priced for what you get, although it's, you know, not cheap. It is water resistant, and it does have an easy way to transfer items over to it. So I would really look at the Pixel 2. But if you want iPhone, iOS, I have to tell you, I've been playing with using an iPhone 10, the iPhone X, for a couple weeks now. And I'm going to say something that's pretty out there that will get me all kinds of ridicule. It is the best phone I have ever used. The screen is spectacular. The way they've adapted iOS to not having a home button, but all swipe and all screen is smooth. It took me about a minute to get used to it. Every so often I go for a button or a position that, you know, no longer is there on the new iPhone because they had to change it for a full screen device. But it is one of the most beautiful pieces of technology Apple has ever made. Runs really well. The battery life is very good. The wireless charging, I know that Android's had that for a long time, but I love the wireless charging. I've gone in on Amazon and bought like 3 wireless chargers and placed them around the house and at my work, and where I can just set the phone in and get it a quick recharge if I need it. I'll have to tell you, the face recognition on it is flawless. I have had no problems with it. And in fact, it's faster than the fingerprint. It is more fluid than the fingerprint. I mean, I'm already starting to look at the phone. The phone is opening up for me. So, and I've had no problems. I've given it to friends and whatever. Nobody's been able to open the phone up without my passcode or with a different face. I sometimes wear glasses, sometimes don't. No problem seeing between that. I have a beard right now. I haven't tried it without the beard yet, but when I do, I'll let you know. The iPhone 10, you will not get it before Christmas, but you can, you know, cut out a little picture of it and put it in an envelope for somebody if you're going to get it for a gift. It is a tremendous piece of technology. And if we're going to stick with Apple, let's talk about the Apple Watch Series 3. The main thing about the Apple Watch Series 3, besides it being faster, is it being waterproof, of course, just like the 2, but it also has built-in LTE connection. So you can connect straight to your cell phone company, a few extra dollars. Most of them are charging about 10 bucks a month extra for direct connection. So you do not need your phone anymore to connect to your watch. You can have your watch separate. You can go running with your watch, have the have songs in it, use the Apple AirPods, which are really good little Bluetooth earphones or whatever Bluetooth earphones you use, and you can really use it as the ultimate sports watch. So I would really recommend, if you're going to do a wrist device, I would recommend one of the Apple Watches, 1, 2, or 3. You can get a 1 pretty reasonably. I still use my 1. I haven't upgraded. Other people I know have upgraded from 2 or to 3. I've kept my 1. I like my 1 a lot. And if you're not swimming with it, it's something to look at because the price is lower. But the Series 3 does let you connect wirelessly, and that opens a whole new world to your Apple Watch. Now, if you have somebody in your life who's a techie and also likes to eat or grill, we've talked about pellet grills before as a great new technology or newer technology for barbecuing and smoking. I'm going to recommend a grill again this year. Before, I recommended the Traeger. They make great grills. But I've really fallen in love with the Green Mountain Grill Company. Their cost is a lot more reasonable for what you get. And what I really like about them is they have a version that connects wirelessly to your phone or your wireless device. So I can set temperature. I can set, like, let's say that I want my grill to cook up to a certain temperature inside. Then I want the temperature to go up to like 500 degrees. it'll automatically do those steps for me. I can program that right into my iPhone or Android phone or other device. They're fairly well made. I mean, right now they're selling their medium-sized grill, which is the one that I own, for around $500. And then I think it's another $100 or so if you want the connectivity. I love the connectivity. I love to be able to sit there and to monitor what I'm doing while I'm in the house or doing something else. So that'll be a Green Mountain pellet grill. It gives you that smoky barbecue flavor using these pellets. It doesn't need any other power to, it needs plug-in to run the auger, just a regular plug, but all of the cooking energy is used by these pellets. And the pellets you can buy in a lot of places, different types of wood, and the cost compared to propane is very similar. So, but the taste is so much better. So that would be a Green Mountain or other pellet grill. But if you want the best quality or the one that works very well for the price, I really like the Green Mountain grills. You should look at those. Okay, here's something a little bit strange for a technology show, but I'm going to try it. How about a made-to-measure suit? And you're thinking, how in the world does that fit into technology? Well, there are a couple companies. I've used one called Indochino. And Indochino will let you, your significant other, your wife, or come and measure you. Like, she can measure you at home. And then you can send the measurements in via their online portal. And they have the suit measured for you and then have it sent to your home. Let's say it doesn't quite fit. There's something that's not fitting quite right. You can always have it tailored, and they will pay up to $70 of the tailoring fee. Finally, you can also go into one of the showrooms. If you have a showroom in the area, you can go in, they'll measure you, and then you can. They put all that into your account online. So what I did is I went into the Beverly Hills showroom. They made the suit for me. It was mailed to my home. It didn't quite fit right. The pants didn't. I took it back into Beverly Hills and they did the alterations. Then they took whatever they altered it to be, those new measurements, and put those in my account. So the next time I was looking for a suit, I waited until they had a sale, a pretty good sale, and I went online and I just ordered the suit straight because the measurements were already there. When I did that, when I ordered the second suit, that second suit fit just fine. There was no problem with it at all. And so I'm really sold that the quality is good. They're not inexpensive suits. They're not like $150 suits, but they're probably what you would pay maybe $500, $600 in a men's store for. And they're about $300 if you look for sales. They range between $300 and $400. So they're good suits, but the best part is they're made to measure. And I've never had a custom fit suit, and I have to tell you, I like it. So, and they have different weights, different styles, different things on sale. Now, they also do shirts and ties. I haven't tried the shirts. The shirts seem kind of pricey to me for what it was. But the suit, when I was looking at good quality suits, was fairly reasonable in the price range. So, give it a try. That's Indochino.com, or you can go to one of their showrooms, or you can go right to our website. And I didn't mention that at the beginning, and I should have. You know, anything that I've mentioned here, you can go to our website, www.smarttech.tv, and you can go to this episode, and all the links will be there. You can click on whatever you want to look at or whatever you want to purchase. And we appreciate you purchasing it through our website because some of the companies, not all of them, but some of the companies do give us a little bit of a finder's fee. Doesn't cost you anything, but it helps keep the show on the air. So go to our website, smarttech.tv, click on episode 1717, and all of your links will be right in front of you. You can order or look at whatever you want to if you want more info. You know, one of the new problems that we have out there are these people who can walk by your purse or your wallet, and if they get close enough, they can actually read the chip or the stripe on your credit card, because the stripe on your credit card is magnetic. It's a very low power magnetic field, but it is a magnetic field. And so if you have the right equipment, you can go and actually suck that information off. So one of the fixes for this is something they call an RFID wallet. It is a wallet that blocks magnetic signals. So they can't walk by you and just steal your information right from your pocket. And there's all kinds of RFID blocking wallets out there. If you go on Amazon and just type in RFID, you will find them. They're almost every style. They have them for men. They have them for women. They also have them for your passport. There is a, believe it or not, a magnetic stripe now in your passports, and that can be read and then duplicated. So RFID blocking is a good idea. It's a good safety thing. The chances of it happening to you are very small, but, you know, it's another form of ID theft, and it doesn't take very much to protect yourself from that. So I put a link on our website to the Leopard RFID blocking wallet for men. It's genuine leather. It's got the credit card protector. It's got it's a fold over wallet. It's got plenty of room for credit cards, for cash. It's got the little flip up space there for your driver's license, so it's kind of separate from your cards. It's a nice wallet. It's $36. So it's really reasonable. You can find those wallets cheaper, by the way, but if you want something decent quality, look for genuine leather. As I said, Amazon's a good place for it. We have the link on our website, smarttech.tv. Now, cameras are a little out of fashion. I mean, when you have something like the iPhone 10 or the Google Pixel, you know, a lot of people think, I don't need to carry a separate camera. But if you like to do photography and you like to change lenses, and because that's the weakest part of a phone right now is the lens. They've got those really tiny, teeny lenses on those, tiny chips. So the capture area is not that big. The lens is not that big. You can only do so much in that kind of thin space. And you can see that on the iPhones because they actually bump out the lens area so they can get a little bit more mechanical space inside the phone to stop shaking and to do some the lens manipulation for different effects. But if you want a camera that is going to capture more of your photo, more light, bigger lenses, longer lenses, sharper lenses, you need to go back to a camera. And it's kind of hard because cameras are heavy, good cameras. You know, you buy a Nikon or a Canon, 35 millimeter size single lens reflex, they can be pretty bulky. One of the solutions for that problem nowadays is the mirrorless camera. It uses a small TV screen basically inside the camera for you to look at the photo or look at through the lens instead of a mechanical mirror. And so it makes the camera much lighter, and you can use smaller lenses for that and still get the same quality. There's a lot of good companies doing them. If you want to look at the Panasonic or the Olympus, they do Micro Four Thirds. It's a very good camera. But if you want a chip that's a little bit bigger and a little bit sharper, but not the full frame big size lenses, then you might want to look at the Sony Alpha series. Sony makes, they start with an Alpha or an A, and it'll be, if you're going to look, you might look at the Sony Alpha A6000. The Sony Alpha A6000 is a few years old, but it's got a 24 megapixel APS-C size chip, which is the chip size just under the 35 millimeter size. So it's a good quality chip, gets a lot of data in there, and it's $500. By the way, $500 with a zoom lens, a 16 to 50. When you're looking at mirrorless cameras or with cut sensors where the sensor's not quite full size, you look at the equivalency on a 35 millimeter camera. So on a 35 millimeter camera, you're looking at about a 28 millimeter to 70 millimeter 35 millimeter size, regular size camera lens. And so that's pretty good. $500 for that. The lens is totally mechanical. It goes in there. It shuts itself off and retracts itself when it's done and opens itself up when it's ready to go. It's just a really nice little lens and a fairly sharp lens for $500. Then it goes up from there. So the same lens on the A6100 is a couple hundred dollars more. The A6300 will run you about $1,000 with that lens. And the A6500, which is the newest one, will run you about $1,200 with that lens. All those cameras take excellent, excellent photos. They all have the same style body. They look almost the same. It's basically the processing power. So how many photos, like if you want to take high-speed photos, how many photos can I take before the camera just stops taking it? It has to take time to write to the card. What's the buffer inside? What's the speed of the processor? So each camera, as you move up the level, just gets better in those things. But the fact of the matter is, of all those that I mentioned, they're all 24 megapixels. So I would say in a normal photography situation, like you're standing outside of Glacier National Park and you're taking the picture of a mountain, if you took that same mountain during the day, you probably would have a hard time telling any of those photos apart. And that's anywhere from $500 to up to about $1,100, $1,200. So if you're going to look at cameras, the reason I like these is they're small. I mean, they're the size of, they're not much bigger than a cell phone used to be. They're really small. They're compact. And the lens that it comes with is a decent lens. And you can change lenses on there. You can get much more, much higher zoom, much lower zoom, whatever you need. But you can get a wider zoom or a wider lens. The other nice thing is Sony does sell a full frame Alpha series. You're getting up into the $1,500 to $3,000 range when you get to there. And the pictures aren't that much better. I mean, they're better, but they're not that much better. And what's nice is they all use the same E-mount lens. So you can take the lenses off of your cheaper Sony cameras and you can put them on the more expensive cameras. And although it will crop the picture to the size of the whatever chip they're made for, they'll work. And you can take some really nice pictures with them. So if you're looking for mirrorless cameras, I would look at the Sony series, the Alpha series, or I would look at the Olympus Micro Four Thirds because it has the same ability to interchange lenses. A Micro Four Thirds is a certain size. They all use the same lens mount no matter the manufacturer. So those are two things to look at. Price-wise, they're all about the same. Now, one of the things that I've really enjoyed, as I said, with my new iPhone X has been the wireless charging. And so as soon as I discovered this, I went out and I got a few wireless chargers to stick around the house. I have one down near where I sit and watch TV, so I can just set it on there. It's flat. And then I have one at work, which holds the phone upright. And I have one by my bed that holds the phone upright. So I can just set it on there. I don't have to plug it in. I don't need a special cord. What you want to make sure with these, though, is whatever you plug, the only charge as fast as what you plug them into. So if you've got a regular phone charger and it's got like a 1 amp charger, and you can tell that by looking on there, it'll tell you how many amps are on your charger. If it's a typical 1 amp charger, it's going to charge moderately okay. If you get like a 3 amp charger, then some of the phones will charge much quicker. You have to have fast charge on the phone that you get. There are many Android phones that have that capability. Not so many, well, none on the iPhone, although the iPhone will have that capability when there's a software upgrade. They just couldn't get that pulled together in time for the iPhone X launch. But apparently, in a month or so, they're going to have an upgrade that'll enable that fast charging. And once that happens, I can stick it on the same charger if I bought a fast charge charger and have it charge in about half the time. So I haven't really needed it too much. I've been real happy with the regular speed because I'm usually I'm not trying to charge quickly. I'm usually like sitting at my desk and thinking, okay, it's getting kind of low. I'm just going to set it up there. And it ends up sitting there for half an hour and gets a good, you know, good charge. So that hasn't made too much of a difference, although I'm sure if I'm ever in a hurry, it will make a difference. There are a lot of fast charge units available out there. I really like the company called Rav Power, R-A-V Power. You can get those on Amazon, and I will put the link on our website, smarttech.tv. But I like them because the price is reasonable, and they make good quality stuff. Some of these are really cheaply made. These are fairly substantial. And it's got their stand-up one is really nice because, you know, a lot of these have lights, indicator lights on them. And if you're going to put it by your bed, you know, the indicator light is really bright at night, like a blue light just glaring at you. What Rav Power does, at least on their stand-up charger, is their indicator light is a ring around the bottom of the charger. So when the phone is charging, you just get a very mild glow from the bottom. You know that it's charging because of the glow, but it is not, it's not obnoxious at night. I've had no problem sleeping with that indicator light on. That's why I'm little things like that that make me want to recommend the Rav Power. So I have two more. One is the for a tablet. There's lots of different tablets out there, Android, iOS, but I'm going to recommend for you the new iPad Pro. Now, iPad has the iPad Mini. They have the iPad. The original iPad is 9.7 inches. This one is 10.5 inch. So it's just a little bit larger than the iPad, the regular iPad, but it makes a huge bit of difference. They have a 12-inch iPad. I think that's too big. I look at it, and it's big. And carrying it around kind of defeats the purpose that I have for carrying a tablet. But sometimes the 9.7 just doesn't have the real estate it needs. The 10.5 seems like it has a good balance between size, power, and so I would take a look at that if you're interested in a tablet. That's the 10.5-inch iPad Pro. I like the Pros because it works with the Apple Pencil, and the Apple Pencil is freaking awesome. It works really well. It's the first device ever, including the Windows machines that I've used, where the pen or the pencil, they call an Apple Pencil, writes like a real device. I can write with it, and I have very little trouble writing with it, whereas the other ones, they're too thick. They don't quite keep up with me. This keeps up with the pencil. It makes it seem like you're writing on a piece of paper. So it's pretty amazing. And the last one that I want to talk about is, you know, we've been talking about smart homes and connecting our lives together. One of the best lock manufacturers in the world, Schlage, they make high quality locks. If you go look at metal security doors and those type of things. Yeah, there's Kwikset and other companies, but Schlage is the company that other people strive to be. It's a very, very high quality company that professionals like to use. And Schlage has come out with two deadbolt locks, one called the Schlage Sense and one called the Schlage Connect. And the basic difference between the two is the Schlage Sense is made to work with iOS products and HomeKit, and it works really well with HomeKit. And so if you've got a HomeKit home, you can put these senses in, and you can put scenes on where it locks everything. It's got a keypad on it that lets you come in. I use my Apple Watch when I walk in the house, and I just tell it, I tell Siri to unlock the front door, and she does. The Schlage Connect is really the same deadbolt lock, but it works on Android and Z-Wave. So if you're an Apple shop, an Apple house, you want to try the Sense. If you're not, you might want to use the Connect. Can you hook the Sense up to Android? Yes, but you have to do it through like if then that. Same with the Connect. So there's a way around it, but if you use one or the other, then it's best to get the one that is connected to that. And why doesn't it work for both? Well, they're different protocols. And instead of trying to combine both of them in one and having neither one of them work real well, which I've had that problem before in other devices, they decided to make ones that are specifically geared toward those protocols. So can't fault that. I've got one on my front and back door. I've been using it for about 6 months now. It went in very easily. I was just able to remove the old lock and put the new one in. It fits in just like a regular deadbolt, but it's got the keypad up above it. And it pairs then with using your phone. You pair it and connect it to your wireless system in your house. And then you can get notifications on your phone. I get a notification when the front door is unlocked, so I can know if somebody's there. So there are other brands, other ones that work like this, but I'll tell you what, the Schlage Sense and the Schlage Connect work. They work well. And I've had no problems with them, and they are just as secure as having a regular deadbolt, which I can't say about all the other products out there. Whew, that's a lot of stuff. That was 10. Maybe next year I need to do 5, a little shorter. I hope that you got something out of this. I mean, let me just a quick review. We had the Spark and the Mavic DJI drones. We had the Google Pixel 2 for Android and the iPhone 10 for Apple phones. And I think the iPhone 10, if it's not the best phone that I've ever used, it's right up there. You won't be disappointed in that, except for, of course, the amount of money you lay out. The Apple Watch 3, if you're looking for a smartwatch for your significant other. If you want to try to become an amazing cook, you can start with the Green Mountain Pellet Grill with the wireless connectivity. If you'd like to look better and use some tech to do it, try a made-to-measure suit through Indochino. Something that'll keep you a little bit safer is a new RFID wallet. And I would really suggest if you're going to buy a new wallet anyway, get an RFID. It doesn't hurt anything to have the extra protection. Cameras, I really recommend some of the new mirrorless cameras. They're a lot lighter. They work fast. They're just really nice. And I would take first look at the Sony Alpha line. The wireless charger made by Rav Power puts you out $30 or so, actually $19.95 for their lower priced one. So it's a reasonable Christmas gift, and it's just really, really handy to use. If you're looking for a tablet, and especially if you have a person who's an artist in your family, try the iPad Pro 10.5 inch. Try it out. Go down to the Apple store and try out the different sizes, see which one works for you. But I think the 10.5 is a really interesting new size. And finally, to keep you safe and yet let you play with technology, we have the Schlage Connect or the Schlage Sense locks. And those are our recommendations for this year. Hey, if you've got anything that I missed that you think, hey, he should have talked about this or that, just go on our website, www.smarttech.tv. You can leave a comment right there on episode 1717's page. You can also on our website like our Facebook page. A lot of people leave comments on Facebook and like our Facebook page, and you can do that too. Just go on there, click on the Facebook tab on the right. If you click on the Facebook tab over the episode, you'll be leaving a comment about that episode. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll be back to maybe give you some other tips before Christmas. But until next time, this is your host, Chuck Vinear, hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.